bear mace, safer guns, and cops are dang sick of it. All of it smells like Seattle spirit.
As a city, we have no plan.
Our incarceration rate is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
We'll have domestic violence, homicides in schools because there's guns there.
He was murdered by the police.
Text line is open, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. The phone lines are open, 800-465-8770. I don't want to say this nun's name. I don't want to get too far into the story. I'm sure this is a sweet lady. She's decided to go out and purchase stock in gun companies. It's a smart move. She's purchased $2,000 in stock so that she can now be involved in shareholder discussions. So she is demanding safer guns. And all she wants is a plan from the gun manufacturer on how to create safer guns. And then she wants them to track their products and how they're responsible for killing people and to track that down. Now, that's all well and good, but it's aimed in, of course, the completely wrong direction. It's not the manufacturer's fault any more than it's the fault of Apple, who creates garbage products. Sorry, I will choose not to be distracted. I will focus. It's not the fault of Apple that people use their products to film child pornography. It's not the fault of Google that people use cloud storage to store child pornography. It's not the fault of the manufacturer at all. Secondly, tracking the violence committed using guns from a manufacturer level isn't going to do anything to stop the violence. There's also this obsession on the left with this CDC study of having to study gun violence from a perspective of disease. There's not a disease associated with this other than mental illness, which is the one thing nobody wants to talk about in our city. But there's another thing that this nun doesn't want to talk about. And that is, who's doing the violence here? Como's Joel Moreno says cops need help in tracking down people who are going through an armed robbery spree. This is one of three stories that gun studies, CDC studies, safer guns, tracking guns, going to have no effect on any of this.
In some of the holdups, one man guards the door as a lookout before everyone runs off, leaving the terrified employees behind.
This is very dangerous criminal behavior, and we want to put a stop to it.
Police say these criminals have even cut phone lines and take workers' mobile devices before they leave, likely to delay a 911 call. Extra officers are now patrolling the areas while detectives look for leads to make the arrests.
Someone knows who they are. Someone can share some information with us, and we would love to get them off the street.
It's a funny thing about gang violence that there is a belief that people have that gang violence is committed by morons, but it's not. Gang violence is committed by people who are crafty, they're evil, they're scheming, but they read the news. They know where they live.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
They understand the city where it's good to set up. Another story related to gun violence, if you want to call it that. I've never met a violent gun. A Kirkland pot store was robbed at gunpoint and people fired guns during the robbery. Happened at 11:15 last night in Kirkland, where they're selling the legal stinkweed. Funny thing about gangs and gun violence. Gangs and violence with guns. They're doing this in pursuit of profit. They're not going to go engage in background checks, but it is never a conversation. It is never in this city a conversation. Only Sheriff Mitzi Chuhaknik has taken seriously the gang threat. She and, of course, the Pierce County Sheriff's Department and our cops who have to deal with these guys, they take it seriously, but you will never hear those words from Smack Daddy Dow Constantine.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
You'll never hear it from Sleepy Jay Inslee.
We're getting these absurd ideas that what we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
But you see it everywhere in our city. Another story from downtown Seattle. Police have finally arrested two suspects in a shooting in downtown Seattle that happened 4 a.m. last Wednesday in an alley on 2nd Avenue Pine Street. Sent a man to Harborview. Funny thing about gang violence, it finds its own level like water. And what is it finding? It's finding the path of least resistance. It's finding a city that is not set up to fight crime, a city that has no stomach for this. And it's beginning to show with the cops. It's beginning to show. A survey of Seattle police, and I want to thank our friends at Safe Seattle on Facebook for pointing this out. There was an advisory poll on staffing Seattle police officers. 16% are in the process of making a lateral move to a different agency. So maybe from the Seattle Police Department to the Bellevue Police Department, or maybe to the Washington State Patrol. 34% are considering leaving the Seattle Police Department. 21% are considering retiring in the next 2 years. Only 41% are planning to stay with the Seattle Police Department. And we are about 600 to 800 officers short. Now, certainly, there's a plan to deal with this, Mike O'Brien.
As a city, we have no plan.
Certainly, Jelly Durka, you have given this a deep thought.
Don't drop that Durka-Durk. Hey, don't drop that Durka-Durk.
No, they haven't. Funny thing about gang violence. It's not committed by stupid people. It's not committed by morons. It's not committed by people who can't read. It's committed by people who know exactly what they're doing. They're cornering the market for drugs that are about to be not just decriminalized, but encouraged. And not just decriminalized and encouraged, but subsidized. And not just decriminalized and encouraged and subsidized, but housed. And not just housed, but in a specific area. And not just in a specific area, in the downtown core, where all around the government-funded heroin dens with nurses, the drug dealers will propagate and populate. The same way they propagate and populate around the existing government-funded heroin dens, which are, of course, the chaos camps, the tents and the RVs that the drug dealers are congregating around now. Funny thing about violence in communities is it becomes sort of disease-like and spreads. There's a South Seattle pizza shop owner who's had the most bizarre thing happen. A woman came into his shop and attacked his employees with bear mace and then came back and did it again. This is from Como News, Suzanne Fawn.
A woman walks into the restaurant, looks around, and then walks back outside. She returns with a can of bear mace in hand. There's a man with her with a toddler. Police say the woman began shouting at employees and sprayed five staff members.
It's awful.
That makes zero sense to me. I mean, I don't even know why you would be carrying that around here, like in a neighborhood. I mean, you're not on a hike, obviously.
Reed Dunn lives up the street.
I actually get pizza from this place, and it's, you know, it's a great neighborhood establishment. This area has kind of has a history of not being great.
After that jarring incident, first responders treated the restaurant workers. Employees say they shut down the business for the day. Staff had to throw out all the food because of all the bear mace sprayed.
This is a business owner trying to pay people, trying to pay his bills, trying to meet all these insane diktats of the Seattle City Council. Now he's dealing with this. Funny thing about gang violence, one day it's going to get the wrong person killed. Who's the wrong person? Well, a rich person. Or someone connected to a city so-called leader. And then you watch the change. You watch it. I'm not calling for it. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Mike O'Brien hurt at all. But if it's Mike O'Brien or someone on Jelly Durka's staff, things are going to change. Text line 0559. That's why cops are making a mass exodus. So what I'm seeing is basically you're talking about run everything. I mean, drug addicts out, right? Yeah, so we do need to run the drug addicts out. Leonard in Shoreline, I know I agree with you 100%. We do have lawlessness in Seattle, and we do. And the lawlessness is, in fact, becoming part of the logo of Seattle. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, get into the live world of breaking news on a national basis as we continue. groundbreaking story, and it is just, to me, it's mind-blowing that not everyone agrees we are in a real, real crisis when it comes to this FBI and this DOJ. I'm sitting here, mind emptied and blown that Democrats don't see the danger in this.
As we speak. The Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
So now it's not apparently just one spy, it's two. Now apparently, according to Glenn Greenwald, who's a leftist, he points out that the guy who did the spying here is well-known in Washington, D.C. spy circles, intelligence circles. Everybody knows who this professor is. And apparently this professor passed intel onto Ronald Reagan in the election against Jimmy Carter. Not that Reagan particularly needed the help. Winning. What did he win the first time? Was the first time 49 states? I forget. Not that he particularly needed the help. But I'm telling Democrats and liberals, you guys have no bloomin' clue what you are endorsing. When you're defending the FBI planting informants in a political campaign to observe the campaign as, quote, run by the White House, that's Strzok and Page in their text messages. This is run by the White House. You are endorsing a sitting president kneecapping the opposition. The word fascism is tossed about really recklessly these days. That's an aspect of it that you can't ignore. Do you think that tool can't be turned on you? Even Paul Ryan now, who is as genteel and as domesticated as a human being in Washington, D.C. can be, even Paul Ryan is out in front of this saying, yeah, it's perfectly reasonable. We want to know the identity of these informants.
Is it appropriate for some of your members to ask for the identity of an FBI informant to be revealed? Doesn't that put him at risk?
First of all, that was a classified request. And I do believe, look, knowing this issue, the FISA requests are legitimate oversight requests. So it is wholly appropriate for the document requests that our committees of jurisdiction have made, because it has been within the entire scope of the investigation from the get-go. Frankly, I was a little surprised we didn't get this stuff earlier. So I do think it's appropriate in the context of the legitimate Intelligence Committee investigation that this information be provided to Congress. If it isn't, then we have a huge gap in our investigation.
Do you notice the game the press plays here? When the courts are doing their bidding, the courts are sacrosanct. When the president is doing the bidding, the presidency is sacrosanct and cannot be criticized. That's the supreme power. If the president's not doing the bidding that they want, not on their side, not following what the media wants to see done in this country, then the president is suspect. Now the courts are sacrosanct. And in the case of the DOJ, if the DOJ is doing their bidding, spying on Trump, then they're sacrosanct. They answer to nobody. All of a sudden, the DOJ runs the country. They follow whoever's doing their bidding and saying, okay, that's the one we can't criticize. That's the one in charge. And it's phenomenal, because you think this can't be turned on the press? You think these techniques can't be used on you? Hell, they were. Obama tapped your phones, and you are shocked that there was an informant on the Trump campaign. You're not even shocked. The Washington Post continues to peddle this as, well, this was a helping device. The spies were there to help the president. If this doesn't turn the corner for you, in a comparison of the treatment of Trump versus the treatment of Hillary, you really at this point have given up caring about any leveling of the law, any equal treatment of the law. You may as well say, yeah, you know what? Screw the law. I don't care. I want my side to win. Crush people. When we run the DOJ, let's break down doors. Let's search houses. Let's do all of that. You may as well just cross the Rubicon and all four force. At least be honest about who you've become. As God is my witness, as God is my witness, if I found out that any Republican was using the intelligence service to spy on the Democrats, as God is my witness, I would be saying the same thing. This is so unthinkably dangerous. And Jimmy Clapper is now pretending that they didn't use the Steele dossier. We know the Steele dossier was used. The courts have effectively confirmed it was used.
We did not use it as a source for our intelligence community assessment.
No, that's not the question, James.
We felt, I felt, in the no good deed goes unpunished department, that the president-elect at least needed to know it was out there.
That's why you guys talked to CNN about it? That's why the email records now show you were pitching CNN the story of the dossier before you took it to the president? It does not add up. The president spoke about this.
If they had spies in my campaign, that would be a disgrace to this country. That would be one of the biggest insults that anyone's ever seen.
And with all due respect to the president, it's not just an insult. It's one of the biggest knocking downs of one of the pillars of an honest republic I've ever seen. And if this comes and they say, there you go, the guy completely colluded with Russia, you know what? It's still wrong. Ends do not justify means, because then the means become the ends. You're going to want to hear this. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. I went through the gun initiative that Paul Allen is backing with $1 million. You have never heard anything so insane as what's in this initiative and what they want to do to you. Let me give you a hint. You ready to waive your healthcare privacy? Woke up this morning. All of a sudden, like Jim Morrison. Woke up this morning and I got myself a beer. I don't drink beer. No offense. Used to love beer. I woke up this morning and the great listener to this program on Twitter, Old School Coug. Old School Coug on Twitter had gone through the initiative measure 1639. Paul Allen has put money behind this and Nick Hanauer has put money behind this. This is an insane initiative. And how this is one topic, it utterly eludes me. You want the interesting part first? The sensational part first? Here you go. You buy a pistol, or what they call semi-automatic assault rifles, which is, by the way, in reading this, every gun. A signed application to purchase a pistol or semi-automatic assault rifle shall constitute a waiver of confidentiality and written request that the healthcare authority, mental health institutions, and other healthcare facilities release to an inquiring court or law enforcement agency information relevant to the applicant's eligibility to purchase a semi-automatic assault rifle, or to an inquiring court or law enforcement agency. Inquiring does not mean with a warrant. Inquiring. You buy a gun, your healthcare records are open. Not taking an antidepressant, are you? Huh. Used to take them, did you? Well, got some blood sugar concerns? Your blood sugar drops, you get moody? That's just the beginning of it. How you like the Washington State Patrol, in conjunction with the Department of Licensing, on a yearly or more frequent basis, checking to make sure you're still good to go to own the weapons you own. Sort of open-ended, isn't it? Within 12 months of the effective date of the section, the Department of Licensing shall, in conjunction with the Washington State Patrol and other state and local law enforcement agencies as necessary, develop a cost-effective and efficient process to verify on an annual or more frequent basis that persons who acquired pistols or semi-automatic rifles pursuant to this chapter remain eligible to possess a firearm under state and federal law. Well, and then there's the mental health things. So now, how are they going to do that? Are they just going to check arrest records, etc.? No. No. No, it could be a pending case. You could be suspected of something. Not proven guilty. Suspected. I'll go ahead and take those from you. That's not all. All of this, every letter of this, is designed to make it a pain to purchase. All of it is aimed at people who give a damn about the law. All of it is aimed at people who are not criminals. None of this. None of us tying our hands as legal gun owners. None of this is related to gang violence. None of it is related to mental illness. None of it. Here's some more. You will need to provide proof that you, if you want to buy a gun, if you want to apply to buy a gun, ask permission to buy a gun. The purchaser provides proof that he or she has completed a recognized firearm safety training program within the last 5 years. That, at a minimum, includes instruction of the following items. Now, for the record, if you buy a gun and you are not trained in how to use one, that's stupid. You should get trained on how to use these dangerous, useful, great to have, and fun to shoot tools before you buy one. Not only will you get a better handgun, not only will you get a better rifle you're more comfortable with, you won't hurt somebody inadvertently. But that's different from requiring the following. It will, at a minimum, this instruction include basic firearm safety rules, firearm and children, including secure gun storage, firearm and suicide prevention. How do you teach that? How does that happen in a firearm training course? Hey, if you're going to commit suicide, don't use the gun, use a pill. How do you prevent that as the owner of a gun? You got a gun. Is it going to convince you to shoot yourself? Don't listen to the gun when it says shoot yourself. The training must be sponsored by a federal, state, county, or municipal law enforcement agency, a college or university, a nationally recognized organization that customarily offers firearm training, or firearm training school with instructors certified by nationally recognized organizations. Now, who's going to decide what the curricula is, how long it takes, how much it costs? Because already this initiative says you can't have a gun within 10 business days. Oh, this continues. I said it was about delaying your purchase. The chiefs of police or the sheriff of the jurisdiction where you purchase your weapon needs to sign off on every application. Do you think that might take a while? Do you think the sheriff's departments might experience a bottleneck in that regard? Everybody who purchases a pistol will be forced to purchase a concealed carry permit. You don't want to carry your gun? They don't care. You're going to have a permit. You want to lock it up at home and use it on the range only? No matter. Got to have a permit. See, all of this, they pretend is one subject. Oh, for your kids. A person under 21 years of age may not purchase a pistol or semi-automatic assault rifle, which, by the way, means every gun, as I read this initiative. Every gun is an assault rifle. Except as otherwise provided in this chapter, no person may sell or transfer a semi-automatic assault rifle to a person under the age of 21. A person at least 18 years of age but less than 21 years of age may possess a pistol only, A, in the person's place of abode, B, at the person's fixed place of business, or C, on real property under his control. You, at a 20-year-old human being, are not allowed to carry. So, you find yourself in the position that the woman did in Ballard, where the guy from the sanctioned homeless camp, one of Mike O'Brien's voters, one of Mike O'Brien's voters, or the Bhagwan Shri Sawant's army, one of those people.
As a city, we have no plan.
That woman was raped. If you're the age of 20, I want you to understand that you are not allowed to have a weapon with you. So you're the age of 20 and your girlfriend is 19 and you're downtown and a crazed junkie comes to do what they did to a cop I met a couple weeks ago. Remember I talked to you about this sheriff's deputy I met who was stabbed with a hepatitis infected needle. Thank the Lord he did not get hepatitis. But it was infected with hepatitis. He did not contract it, the officer. They come at you. Hey, you're 20. You can't carry. You can own. Has to be locked up. And we didn't even get into the locking up. We didn't even get into safe storage. They decide what safe storage means and that you have to go through their hoops to safely store, even if there's no kids in your home. Even, and this is undefined as to whether you would be allowed to have your weapon next to you at night on a bedstand or where you like. I don't know a legal gun owner who has a gun for self-defense at home who stows it in a door, in a drawer. Now, you may be that person. That's fine. I'm not your judge, your priest, or professor. The people I know understand that when the door gets kicked in, you probably are going to fumble a little bit and not dig into the door. So your primary defense weapon, a handgun, is right there. Your backup is somewhere else in the house. You're going to be breaking the law? This thing, 1639, is about one thing. Setting tripwires to make it harder and impossible and more expensive and longer to purchase guns. But overall, it's about stigmatizing you. None of it addresses gang violence. None of it addresses mental illness. None of it will make a difference at all, ever, ever, in the case of a mass shooting. Paul Allen, you're wasting $1 million. Nick Hanauer, you should not go out and spend your inheritance this way, Nick. Come back on the Todd Herman Show. Get into just a few more things. A rare sixth item popped up while we were just coming into the studio. And it is a thing of gorgeousnessness. Yeah, it's a spooky initiative. Just talked about Initiative 1639. We'll make that the featured portion of the show today. Producer Tom, please. And Twitter's responding. Jake Decker on Twitter. How about if 1639 requires those who receive protection, a.k.a. celebrities, and Seattle City Council to go through this process for those who guard them? Hey, I'm in. I'm fair. Illustrate that it's only words. Initiative illustrates yet again that liberals don't give a rat's. Well, I can't say that. A rat's rear portion about women's safety. No, they don't. Brad. On the topic of spying on the president on Twitter. But Todd, they did it to protect the president. That's right. And then also, remember when they gave him that trip to Never Never Land when he got to fly Santa's sled and go meet the talking lions? That was cool. Let's roll into just
a few more things.
Yeah, take news-like items. We put them up on a whiteboard. We spend all day, sometimes into the night, arranging them like a playlist on a Bon Jovi album. Sometimes we'll bring in focus groups. And the audience will say, you know what, I like that story first rather than second. And it has led, in fact, I believe, to a death of a producer. May have killed the producer. So painstaking is this process.
Thing one.
Sometimes a theme. Today, no theme, really. Some Syracuse parents needed to get the court involved. They needed to get their son to move out of the house. He's 30. Years of age.
Oh, he needs to get out.
Give his mother and father space, actually, because it's that time. He's 30.
and then you're not paying rent or you're not, like, being independent. You got to be independent.
Court filings allege Rotundo doesn't contribute to the family's expenses and doesn't help out with chores around the house.
That doesn't make no sense if you're going to stay in your mother's house 30 years old and don't help do nothing. Grow up.
Yeah, or move to Seattle. Yeah, let's keep that part quiet. Because that's a guy I'd love, love to live in the city of Seattle. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing two.
Dick, story cause you stress. Here's a way to relieve it. There's a Japanese company. They've set up shop. They've opened their doors. They're selling tickets to let people go in and relieve stress by smashing really nice plates.
We're about to check out this company that offers plate smashing as a form of stress relief. They set up at events and festivals all over Japan, and today they're set up right inside of a music studio.
Japanese people tend to be very polite. So something like intentionally breaking plates is actually really out of character. The owner, Katsuya, used to be a physical therapist, but says he can have a bigger impact on people's health here.
I could see shooting TVs, not to imitate shooting the people on TV, but some of the news stories, maybe that's something that we should set up here. Or maybe a day camp. Think of this. An RV camp in Seattle. Take a year off from property taxes. Live in an RV. Take a year off from your mortgage. Live in an RV. Don't pay for garbage service. Live in an RV. Seattle turning into one of those Walmart parking lots that welcomes people in. But there's that whole meth thing. Makes it a little less nice. Next up, and just a few more things.
Thing three.
Okay, do you play the lottery? Because I don't. And I don't mean to say that I'm better than people who play the lottery. I just don't like the lottery advertising, the odds. There is a guy named Antulio Mazariguios. He walked into the California Lottery's Van Nuys District office, and he had a $5 million scratch ticket. This is, in fact, the fourth lottery prize he's won between $1 million and $5 million bucks. And I thought about that because it became old hat to him. He rubs off this ticket and says, huh, that $1 million I won, I kind of was really careful with that. This one I'm just going to shove in my pocket and walk into the Van Nuys office of the lottery. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
This happened also. A 67-year-old man had won down in the Portland area. He'd won sort of a little video lottery. I think it's at a Perkins restaurant. And a guy came up to steal his winnings. And a hero, a guy named Martin Vantaberger, goes about 6'4", something about 320. He decided to jump in because his wife said, go get the thief.
And when he got to the crosswalk, the other guy followed him out and hit him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And grabbed the bag of money and started to run off.
So Martin said he got this guy in a chokehold.
I was on his back. I had him in a chokehold. My brother had one arm, and my dad's fishing buddy had the other arm.
And let me tell you, you don't want Martin having a piece of you. The guy, the thief, was giving some bad excuses.
He just, you know, tried to get us to let him go and claim that he was trying to get home and told him that that wasn't an excuse.
Pathetic. I wish you could see this man. This is not a dude you want taking a hold of you for any reason. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
Well, Cuomo. Chris Cuomo, he's been gripped by fear, not by Martin, but by fear.
That maybe...
He's afraid that Trump's going to put him in jail.
One of the ways we deal with these leaks is to go after the journalists as well. The president is suggesting that maybe you do that to us now. Is that okay?
He doesn't want to put anybody in jail. The president doesn't suggest to put any of you guys in jail.
He has done exactly that, actually. Now, he'll say I was musing, I was just throwing it out there. But he has. He says we're the enemy of the American people.
Oh, you guys had broadcast from inside the jail. We'd have to let you broadcast from inside.
Look, it's not a joke.
And I bring you
I think about it sometimes. You
don't? No, you don't.
That maybe a day will come to pass where he wants to move on people who criticize
and test power. Now that I left my law firm, I'll represent you.
Yeah, you're probably going to not go to jail, but we don't have time to play the sound for thing number six. A former deputy attorney general had a comparison about the president criticizing the DOJ.
It's a bone-chilling development. Look, the Justice Department is under a shelling from the White House. It's like London 1941 there.
Yeah, it is. It's like death being dropped from the skies by a madman killing Jews by poisoning them in fake showers and then burning their bodies in ovens. It's exactly right. All right, Todd Emmer Show will continue with more local news on AM 770 KTTH and the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM.